sun did not shine there, but a lily did grow. I cried to my father, how can this be? He said, can't you see, child? I climbed up a mountain till I reached the top, and there sprang a fountain in a dry, barren spot. Again my heart questioned, my eyes could not see. He said, can't you see, child? Covered by the blood, for I am with thee. I am with thee. I am with
Amen. Thank you, Brother Bruce, and thank you all for being here tonight. It's so good to see some new members, and we praise the Lord for you here, and I'm just a little bit intimidated after last week to stand up here. Oh, I know I'm a lot intimidated. You know, 12, 13 of the greatest preachers, and then our pastor, and then me. So I'm less than the bat boy, the ball man. I'm just a spectator compared to those great preachers, but it's an honor and privilege to preach, and I tried to learn something from them last week. Something I could do in my preaching, and about all I can copy from them is maybe tell a joke or two. So I'm going to tell a joke or two, not just any joke or two, maybe an Aggie joke or two. And some yays and nays there. Where can you find Aggies after they get their driver's license? At a stop sign. All right, that caught about a fourth of you. Why did the Aggie get fired from the M&M factory? He kept on throwing out the W's. All right, that got a few more of you. This one will rope you in. An Aggie and a Longhorn are caught by a jungle tribe and sentenced to death. They are told that they will each have one last request. The Aggie thinks and says, I want to hear the A&M fight song just one more time. The tribe agrees and asks the Longhorn what is his last request. He replies with only three words, kill me first. He doesn't want to hear it. Yeah. Starting to get some hands. All right, we're getting a good spirit here. All right, two more. Two Aggie fans were walking through the woods when they came upon a set of tracks. The first Aggie fan said, those are deer tracks. The second fan said, no, they're too big to be deer tracks, they must be elk tracks. As the debate continued, they both got hit by a train. One more, this is the best one, you'll see why in just a moment. A little boy and his mother were walking through a cemetery in Austin when they came upon a headstone that read, here lies a UT graduate and an honest man. The little boy asked, Mommy, why did they bury two people here? All right. I'm getting back here. Somebody gave me this. You see that? That's an A&M pacifier. And I'm the captain of the Aggies team. Judging by the score, I don't need this. All right. Well, I knew there'd be some oohs and some amens. All right. Finding your Bibles, Numbers chapter 13. The song was perfect. Brother Reed chose it the last song. Canaan land is just in sight. That's exactly what I'm going to be preaching tonight. And I had no idea he was going to sing that song, but how appropriate. How appropriate. We're going to talk about Caleb and Joshua tonight. And it's going to be, don't take it as just a history lesson. We're going to read a lot of scripture from Numbers chapter 13, Numbers chapter 14. So much scripture. I don't want you to think this is just a history lesson. You can take what Caleb and Joshua did and apply it to your life in so many ways. And each and every one of us should leave here tonight and realize what Caleb and Joshua did, the report they gave, is a report you and I can give to any circumstance in life. Because God doesn't change and God's for you. If you've been born again and you're His child, He is for you and not against you tonight. So just find practical application in this message. We're going to look at a lot of scripture and go through the spies going into Canaan land and searching it out. And giving, boy, a bunch of them giving that negative report. It's easy to do that nowadays. Give a negative report about America, about maybe our Sunday school class, whatever it be, ministry you're in. Boy, you can just go negative. Pretty easy now. Or you can be a Joshua and a Caleb and go real positive. Because they know who's in control. And they know who's going to guide the army in and have victory. But stand, if you would, Numbers chapter 13. And we'll begin verse 1. Numbers chapter 13, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel, of every tribe of their fathers, shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. Now that's God commanding Moses. And Moses, by the way, is perfectly obedient. And you need to note that. He does what he's told. He goes to search out the land, to spy out the land, to reconnoitre the land, to look it over. Now Moses knows he'll never go into that land because of a past sin. But he knows he's in a leadership position and he has to empower those underneath him. Caleb, Joshua knows to go into Canaan land because Canaan land is just in sight. So here's what he's doing. He's getting some spies to go check out the land. You know, look at the army. Look at the men they're going to be up against. And just take, you know, that's what an army would do. Go look at the enemy. That wouldn't change the army's mind. It would tell them how to prepare. And God is a God of preparation. And he's preparing Moses and the Israel to go into Canaan land here. And we know the 12 tribes, each had a ruler, and Caleb was chosen from the tribe of Judah, and Joshua was chosen from the tribe of Ephraim, and they went forward. So I just want to preach a message called the Joshua and Caleb Report, if you will. Or Caleb and Joshua Report, and just that positive report. And what it was made up of. Why were two spies able to give a positive report, and 10 said, no way, let's just call this thing off. Now, we don't believe in God, we don't have faith. And it's just not going to work, basically what they said. So let me preach a message called the Caleb and Joshua Report. And I pray by the end of this message, you know a place or two in your life where you're just giving that report of the 10 spies. And a lot of doubt, a lot of lack of trust. And boy, how you can reverse that and have a Caleb and Joshua Report. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the privilege to preach. And God, it's not me, it'll be you tonight if anything worthy is done. And I pray that this message would bring glory to you, would help your dear people. Thank you for each and every one here tonight. I especially thank you for new members and those that, Lord, are just new to our church. We thank you, and we pray for our preacher right now as he preaches a missions conference. May that church, Trinity Baptist Wills Point, do something incredible for missions this year. Use our preacher in a mighty way. And Lord, I pray for the invitation ahead. If there be one here that's without Christ, that knows not Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, pray to be the night of their salvation. Now, Lord, bless, do something through me. In Christ's name I ask. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Let's look at Moses' obedience here. Numbers 13, we're going to spend a lot of time in Numbers 13. So keep it open. Look at verse 17. We'll see Moses' obedience here. Verse 17, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan. There it is, to spy again. And said unto them, get ye up into this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds. And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And I'll leave off reading there. Moses was just going in to see, or sending the spies in to see what the land was about. Now don't miss this. He was not asked by God, go see if it's possible. God already was going to give them the land. That was a covenant land. That was already deeded to them. It was decreed to them. Why did they call it the promised land? It was promised to them. And we have a lot of promises written onto our account as Christians, Bible-believing Christians. Every promise in the book is mine. You just find one and claim it, and it's the same thing. But a spy gets information. They're not charged with changing God's will. If we're sent to do something for God, God doesn't say, go consider what I've told you. No, He doesn't work that way. He gives us some, puts something on our heart and wants us to go forward with it. Well, I think of the intelligence or reconnaissance effort or surveillance effort of an army or navy, military. You know what they're doing? It's already decided we're going to defeat terrorism. But they've got to go and gather information and gather information. Everybody in here knows when we hit the ground in Iraq, we were going to win. We were going to destroy our targets. And I know politics plays into it and it's drug out. But we were sure to victory just going in there with our weapons, our manpower. But you spy out things ahead of time and take a look at them. Now the spies report. Look with me at verse 27. Well, they've looked over the land. These 12 spies have come back and they give a report. They do what they were told. Verse 27, and they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, dangerous word, nevertheless, shows all of a sudden there's a turn. There's something in their mind. Well, wait a minute, nevertheless. You look that word up in the Bible. A lot of neverthelesses show a turn from faith to lack of faith, from trust to lack of trust. And you see that word used with the disciples, the apostles. Nevertheless, and sometimes it went in the other direction, nevertheless, we're just going to trust the Lord in some cases. Verse 28, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And boy, they start to get intimidated here. Now, if they'd stop here and just say, okay, we're going into the land because we trust God, everything would be all right. You'd have 12 spies that brought back a report, and they followed, but that's not what happened. Two responses. And Christian, in your life, my life, we always have two responses when God lays something on our heart. And if you've been saved and you've let the Holy Spirit deal with you, you've had many things laid on your heart. And you say, well, I haven't lately. Well, check out your prayer life. Check out your Bible reading. Check out the last time you fasted for something. And check out what's happened up here at the altar. God will put things on your heart because He wants so much more out of our lives than I believe we're given. And you just trust me on that. Get before the Lord. Say, Lord, put something on my heart to do. He'll fill you up. He'll give you something to do. But there's two responses. When God's will or commandment comes to us, it can either meet opposition in our heart or we can just do what Caleb did. Let me read to you what Caleb did. We're still in Numbers 13. Look at verse 30. Verse 30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses. He quieted the people. He said, shut up. Listen. He stilled the people. And you know, they were getting aroused about now. They were afraid. They knew that they were like grasshoppers in the sight. They were afraid of the different tribes, the Amalekites and the Hittites and the Jebusites, all these big, powerful people. They were intimidated. And you know what? God's will to you and I can be intimidating. But you know what Caleb said after he stilled the people? He said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Well able to overcome it. No doubt in his mind that the God of the universe had given them that promised land and they were going to go forward. I like Caleb's report. I like a pastor in Dr. Bob Smith that gives Caleb and Joshua reports time after time after time from this pulpit. I like working with Brother Sam Reed in the college. He always gives a Caleb and Joshua report. Boy, the situation can be dire. A student can be about to be lose ability to stay in college, and he always gives a Caleb and Joshua report. It doesn't matter what happens. That cup's always half full, and I appreciate that in our leadership. It's so easy to go the other way and just give up, throw in the towel. Well, we can't do this. We don't have enough power, strength, might, money, finances, you name it. Let's see the other report. Let's see the majority report. Over 80%, 10 out of the 12 spies. Look at verse 31. We're still in Numbers 13. Verse 31, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up again. Now, who said that? We be not able. Their heart. That's where it started. God didn't say that. They didn't get that from Moses. And they didn't get it from Caleb and Joshua, who they should have probably been following somewhat. We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel. Now they're spreading the rumor and they're murmuring. It gets worse. The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. These poor 10 spies came back and said, we're just grasshoppers in their sight. Boy, that leaves out God. That leaves out the greatest part of the equation, And that's the Lord. That's the one that'll take that invisible army in there and rid those wicked tribes out of the promised land. They were relying on themselves, and we don't need to rely on ourselves when we have God on our side. Let me just say this again. Moses didn't ask for the odds. Going into a Saturday, I like to know maybe the line on a football game. I like to know how bad A&M's going to get beat by Florida. Or I like to know how bad Oklahoma's going to beat A&M. Now, when we play November 23rd, it's going to be how bad we beat TU. But I like to know the line on a game. And you know what? Moses, he wasn't going for that. He wasn't asking, what's our chances? He was saying, just see what we're up against. See what's out there. Deuteronomy 1:8. Don't turn there, but I'll read it. It says, behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land. God says, go in and possess the land, which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Now, if the Lord swears something unto your fathers, he probably means it. That's probably something you can take to the bank. That's good. And he told him. And if I was to purchase a piece of land, let me give you an illustration. And let's say I purchased a piece of land in a terrible place in America that did not look like it had any prospects. Maybe it was below sea level, was in a swamp, and you just pictured in your mind a really undeveloped piece of land. But I purchased it, and I want to develop on it. And maybe I sent Brother Costigan, an architect, and maybe Brother Montsevice, a builder, and maybe Brother Dockery, a drafter. And I said, gentlemen, go out there and just tell me what I need to do to get started on this piece of land, okay? And they head out there, the three of them, and I pay their way and put them up in a nice hotel, amen. And they go out there, and they look at that land, and I call them and say, hey, guys, what'd you see? And Brother Costigan says, well, me and Brother Carlos have been talking, and it's not going to work. There's no way you can build on that land. It can't happen. It's swamp. There's no electricity. What would you do for a sewer? And we couldn't get materials in there. Well, I already bought the land. I'm already going to build on the land. That's not what I wanted to hear. That wasn't exactly a Caleb and Joshua report. That was us looking at our power. Now, this isn't a spiritual example, but follow me. Brother Dockery comes back and he says, oh, man, let's get started. I'll stay out here. Order the materials. I'm ready. I've got my laptop. I can draft you something up in a few minutes. Let's go. Let's get to building. He doesn't care there's a swamp. He gets a swamp dozer in there and we get busy because he knows I've already bought the land. He's working for me. That's the same thing here. Just a little different. Twist it. Put God in the equation. And that's the same thing. God had already given them this land. He swore it to their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They just needed to obey. They just needed to go in, possess the land. God was going to win that victory for them. They just needed to follow that Caleb and Joshua report. Moses didn't say, go give me a report, can we or can we not? It was already decided. And that's how God's will is for our life. He has a perfect will for us, and he tells us to do something. It's only up to us to obey, not to challenge it, not to pick it apart. And let's just look at a few things. How can we apply this Caleb and Joshua report in our lives? How can we have a Caleb and Joshua report? And each and every one of us in here has got troubles and heartaches, maybe a health problem, maybe finance, maybe marriage. We've got something. We just need to get a Caleb and Joshua report and say, it can be done. It's God's will to do this, and I'm going to do it. I'm just going to wholly follow the Lord. Can I say, first of all, a Caleb and Joshua report begins in the heart? Where did this thing begin in Caleb and Joshua? Did they just say, oh, I guess we'll follow the Lord. Looks like the best thing to do. No, sir, that's not where it started. It started in their heart. And look with me, if you would, Numbers 14. Move over one chapter, Numbers 14, verse 24. Numbers 14, verse 24. And we'll see here, let the Bible tell you. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him. What do you think that spirit was? That was the spirit of God. That was the spirit of God directing him and leading him. And it goes on to say, and he hath followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now let's not leave Joshua out. What about Joshua's heart? Joshua 14, if you'll turn over to Joshua 14, and just give you a picture here of Joshua's heart. Joshua chapter 14 and verse 7. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. It was already in his heart that he was going to trust God. It was already in his heart that God was right. And if we'll settle some of these things in our heart, God's will becomes a lot easier. If we already settle it down inside our heart, God wants me to do this. He wants me to separate in this area. He wants me to be in church, to serve. If we settle those things, they come a lot easier. It's like taking a medicine. If it's a big pill, you don't like swallowing pills. All you that don't like swallowing pills, shake your head. And you just say, well, I've got to take it. It's going to heal me. And you put that thing in there and just close your eyes and drink water. Kind of the same thing, only God's will is so much better than a pill. What am I saying? A Caleb and Joshua report begins in your heart. It begins in your heart. That's what God deals with in us, is our heart. What was different about Caleb and Joshua? Let me give you a few things. I think they had controlled hearts. It says they wholly followed the Lord. Not partially, not some of the way, they wholly followed the Lord. They had controlled hearts. They had consecrated hearts. They had hearts that were set apart for God's service. And they kept their heart with all diligence, I believe. They had clean hearts. I can imagine them praying David's prayer, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I can imagine them praying that, staying clean, staying ready for the conquering of Canaan land, because it's just in sight. And also they had a confident heart. 1 John 3:21 says, Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. Toward God. I believe they had all these things in their heart. And for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Joshua and Caleb knew in their heart, we can take this land. So that's the report. It wasn't that hard for them. They came back on fire. Let's go do it. Let's get this thing done. And Christian, can I tell you, how did something begin in your heart? Through prayer, through relationship with God, through Bible, through church, through those things your flesh fights. That's where you'll get close to God. That's how you'll find out God's will. And you know what he's telling you. And a Caleb and Joshua report, that positive report about your life, begins in the heart. What's God laid on your heart? That's the Caleb and Joshua kind of report. Secondly, a Caleb and Joshua report will not be in the majority opinion. Oh, it's not going to be very popular to follow the Lord, especially nowadays, especially in all the things that are going on around us. It's not going to be in the majority opinion. Let's just talk about that majority opinion. We're going to keep going right through Numbers. Look at Numbers 14, verse 1. And this story, I have to read a lot of scripture because it's just right here. It just jumps out at you. Numbers chapter 14, verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. What a miserable bunch. They could have just trusted in the Lord. Here they're up all night weeping. Verse 2. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. Hey, folks, Moses had been nothing but good to those people all those years, leading them through the Red Sea and every provision he helped get from the Lord. But they murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. What a complaining bunch of people. After all that God did for them, well, they could forget just like that. They had a slate board memory. They could just wipe it clean at an instant, forget every good thing that God ever did. And you know what? That usually forms the majority opinion. Be careful for the majority opinion. When I surrendered to go to Bible college in 1999, hey, that majority opinion wasn't behind me. They thought I was nuts. Why would anybody leave a good corporate job and without any job prospect in sight and go put yourself in Bible college and go be a poor preacher the rest of your life? Hey, the majority opinion, everybody at that company thought I was nuts. And some in my family thought I was nuts. And everybody thought I was nuts except the one that counts. And my pastor who counseled me. And I'm sure glad I made that decision. But there's some decision in your life that a lot of folks are against. You know, what value is it to go around and question and poll the people? America, folks, is polled to death. America is the most polled nation on the face of the planet. I don't even like opening a Newsweek or a USA Today or something, because all it is polls. I'm not going to live my life by a poll. I'm going to live it by thus saith the Word of God. And I'm not going to worry about what a poll says about child rearing. I'm not going to worry about what a poll says about when life began. I'm not going to worry about what a poll says about the death penalty. I'm not going to worry about polls, because that's a majority opinion. By the way, you can start believing those polls. They are made by marketers. And marketers already have an idea what they want the poll to say. So when that poll comes out, it's going to say what the marketers are being paid to say. It's manipulative. Watch out for all the polls out there. This is the only poll I want. I want what thus saith the Lord. I looked that up. God said that 413 times in the Old Testament. Thus saith the Lord. That's the only poll I want to look at. What about this majority opinion? Think about the minor and major prophets in the Bible. You know what? The majority opinion was always against the minor prophets. Think of Jonah. Who did he have for him besides the Lord? Not a whole lot. What about Jeremiah, the weeping prophet? Why did he weep? Because no one was for him. No one. What about Elijah? You can go down the list. What about Job's friends? Well, they kind of formed the majority there. Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. Boy, they were against him the whole time. Majority opinion. And then old Elihu comes on the scene. And in chapter 32 of Job, three times, this is the only place in the Bible this word is used, opinion. Elihu talks about his opinion three times. Boy, wasn't he a smart dude. Just a young guy. Because it's time for me to give Job my opinion. Well, hogwash. Job got the opinion he needed a few chapters later from the Lord. Watch the majority opinion. The majority opinion said, crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate gave in, who had some sympathy toward Jesus, gave in and they crucified him. What about this modern Christianity movement, this ecumenical movement to combine all the churches and all get together and hold hands? Phooey, I don't want any of that. That's a majority opinion. And that's as wrong as can be and unscriptural. I'm sick and tired of hearing the word non-denomination, about to drive me crazy. Everybody I meet nowadays believes that their activity, their godly activity is okay because it's non-denom, because that's in the majority opinion nowadays. If it's non-denom, it's okay. Well, if it's non-denom, it doesn't stand for anything. And I'm sorry, I'm going to go back to a Baptist belief in this book, the old King James Bible, every time. But let me just say, a Caleb and Joshua report is not always going to be in the majority opinion. What God's put on your heart may not be real popular with your family, with your friends, with your neighbors, with your coworkers. Teens, this affects you. The majority report probably going to get you into trouble, teens. And how you dress, and what you listen to, and who you hang out with. Hey, that majority is easy to sway, and that's been swayed by America in the wrong direction. Be careful. Be careful. A Caleb and Joshua report, which we should want for our life, is not going to follow the majority opinion. It's just not. Are you going to get outside of the will of God? The Bible says be careful that we don't compare ourselves among ourselves. If we do, we're not wise. We're not wise. Can I say thirdly, a Caleb and Joshua report goes against human reasoning? It's just not going to make sense. I don't have any better way to say it. What God wants us to do many times in our life just doesn't make sense. When I was witness to in 1995, and someone explained the plan of salvation to me, and I was left saying, what do I I need to do something. I've got to add to this. I've got to work this out the rest of my life. No, it's more simple than that. It's beyond human reasoning, salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Think about your salvation and go and explain it to somebody. How a man some 2,000 years ago can die an atoning death on a cross and purchase my salvation. I can be bought with a price. That's incredible. And that's beyond human reasoning. Hey, this Caleb and Joshua report, it didn't look like they could go up those giants of Anak. And it didn't look like they could go up against those armies in Canaan land and get a victory. Look with me, if you would, at verse 3. We're still in Numbers 14. And look at verse 3 there. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Boy, they're asking questions. They're like, we're going to get killed. Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? They want to go back to Egypt, folks. Egypt is a picture of the world. That's like getting tired of coming to church and just saying, well, I'm going back into the world. It's probably better. Less persecution. That's what everybody's saying. What about some things in the Bible? What about the Battle of Jericho? Did that make sense by human reasoning? That this army would march around the city of Jericho for 7 days and then blow trumpets and then see the walls crumble? That doesn't make sense. I'd like to know how that happened. I don't have any idea. Maybe I'll find out one day that the supernatural power of God just broke those walls down, and that's exactly what happened. David and Goliath. David was not supposed to win that encounter. That was beyond human reasoning for David to win that encounter. But he used faith, and he used the Lord God to get through that. He had a Caleb and Joshua report. He told his brothers and others, here's what I'm going to do, guys. Watch. And I have the Lord behind me. What about Jesus' feeding of the multitude with a few loaves and fishes? You can't explain that. That was beyond human reasoning. A Caleb and Joshua report, what God wants you to do in your life is going to be beyond what you can explain. You're just not going to be able to explain it away because it's supernatural. Our problem is we're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We're always wanting to learn more. Why? We need to quit asking why and yes, Lord, and just put simple faith and trust in the same faith we used to get saved, we ought to use daily in our walk with the Lord. Turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah 55. I want you to see this. You probably know, many of you, where I'm going. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. I have to remind me of these verses many times. They apply to everything in life. And you say, I don't understand what God's doing in my life. I don't understand some things that are happening. And boy, this applies to health problems and tragedies and things. I just don't understand. Well, Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Just settle it tonight that you don't know everything And God doesn't want you to know everything, and He does know everything, and His ways are not our ways. And let's just get comfortable in that, and by faith follow Him. And by faith. See, a Caleb and Joshua report goes against human reasoning. Now let me give you one more, and this will tie all these together. It's got to begin in your heart. It's got to begin in your heart. I can't put anything in your heart, neither can the person sitting to your right or left. It has got to be God putting something in your heart. A Caleb and Joshua report will start there. Next, can I say ignore those around you? Ignore all the naysayers. You'll get a lot of negative feedback. Pastors that go to start churches in new areas, they're always told it can never happen. You can't build a church here. And usually a church is built. Usually a church is built. It's got to start in your heart. It's got to go against human reasoning. And it always will go against human reasoning. It's of the Lord. And finally, you can glue all this together and have you something you can put into practice immediately. That Caleb and Joshua report has to have faith. It just has to have faith. You can't escape that. God can put something in your heart. I don't care what level of faith. He'll put something in your heart if you're trying to get close to Him. And you know what? You can ignore people. And then you can say, you know, I don't understand this. But if you lack faith, you may never go forward. You may never take that first step into the Jordan, as those leaders of those tribes did, without that faith. A Caleb and Joshua report requires faith. Look one more time, if you would. Numbers 14, verse 8. Numbers 14, verse 8. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Great comforting words. Verse 8, He will. Sounds pretty certain. A lot of faith in Him, right, in the Lord right there. If the Lord will delight in us, and yes, He will delight in you, by the way, tonight, then He will. He will bring to pass His will for your life. See, the problem is we walk by sight, and not by faith. We walk by sight and not by faith. But the Bible says the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. You know, if we're going to pray, and we like this verse, Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. How many of us really do that? How many of us really want to see what God has out there at the end of that prayer for us? Great and mighty things which thou knowest not. See, it's beyond human reasoning. It's something that probably people around you haven't told you because it's beyond them. It's great and mighty which thou knowest not. God wants to accomplish some great things in our life. It's going to require faith. He wants us to be great givers. He wants us to be great witnesses, true servants. He wants us to have godly homes. These things are beyond our reasoning and our ability. They take faith. They take faith. What happened to these spies? Let's just conclude this by giving you just the Bible again. What happened to these 10 spies? Well, they died. They died. Look, if you would, Numbers 14, verse 37. Numbers 14, verse 37. And we're going to finish this out with one more verse in Numbers. Two more. Numbers 14, verse 37. Even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. Now, what a way to live. You're part of the 12 tribes. And then you die by a plague. What a sad ending. What could have been a life of faith and following the Lord. What could have happened? Well, you know the story. The Lord punished them and allowed them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. All above the age of 20 died. Literally, 600,000 died in those 40 years. Joshua and Caleb, what happened to them? Last verse, I promise. Numbers 14, verse 38. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that were that went to search the land, lived still. They lived. And you know, you could just say, oh yeah, they lived. No, they lived a victorious life. They lived a life and they saw the fruit of their faith in God. And they saw victory. Why do they call it Canaan land is just in sight? Why do they call it the promised land? That wasn't a picture of salvation when they crossed the Jordan. That was a picture of capturing the promises of God, the victory life. Of following the Lord, something that's in your heart. Ignoring the folk around you. And you know what? Going forward by faith. That's what these two men found. They found the victory life. Tonight, you write your own Caleb and Joshua report. You script it out. You're the editor-in-chief of your own Caleb and Joshua report. Nobody else is. Nobody else knows what's on your heart. You write that thing down in your heart. You write it every day. You wake up in the morning. Well, you wake up and you don't spend time with the Lord and all of a sudden your flesh takes over. You've got to Caleb and Joshua report like the 10 spies. It lacks faith. It lacks anything going on in your heart. You're going to drift and move and be swayed by those around you. And you know what? You're going to be you're going to try to reason things out. But these two men decided, you know what? God's done something in our heart. We're going to follow by faith what He said. And you get the free will, folk, to follow your own C&J report. Your own Caleb and Joshua report is yours to follow once you have it in your heart. Who has the joy and victory today? Those that cross the Jordan. Those that follow this thing. Like those two. Joshua and Caleb were the only ones of that generation to make it into Canaan land. You think God's not serious about this? Following Him by faith? He let all the others die off. Psalm 5:11, but let all those that put their trust in Thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because Thou defendest them. Let them also that love Thy name be joyful in Thee. This is the path to joy and happiness in the Lord. It's letting God do something in your heart. And then by faith, following Him. I'll end with this, and it's not ironic at all, but two men are in prison tonight, Caleb and Joshua Thompson. Many in here know who they are and have prayed for them. They're members of Capital City Baptist Church in Austin. They're in prison tonight because a few years ago, I don't know the details, they were instructed by parents in a Christian academy to discipline a very rowdy boy, and some discipline was administered and got them in a lot of trouble. And a grossly exaggerated sentence was placed on these two men. Godly men, preachers, running ministries in their church. Caleb and Joshua Thompson, I invite you to find one of their prayer letters and read it. It is a Caleb and Joshua report if I've ever seen one. They're filled with the Spirit. They've got a deeper knowledge and trust and love for God than I do by far. Listen, those folks are in prison, those two men, and it's not ironic. Their names are Caleb and Joshua Thompson. I pray for those men every day, pray for their release. But you know what they say in their letter? They say, we give God the glory for being penned up. And they know what's going on in their heart. And they know they're not going to listen to what others say. Others would get them depressed and discouraged. Nope. And you can't reason out why they're in jail, these long sentences either. But by faith, I just believe those men are going to be used in a great way one day. Today we need some folk that are going to give out a Caleb and Joshua report. For whatever your circumstance is, whatever God's laid on your heart, we need some folk that are just going to build their own Caleb and Joshua report and go forward and just stop. Get off the plateau. Get off the place where you have indecision and go forward. And I invite you tonight, as the invitation will start in a moment, to just use this altar. Whatever God's put in your heart, maybe it's been there for years. Maybe it's time to act on it. It's time to put away what the majority says. The majority opinion is most of the time wrong. And quit trying to reason it out. And let's learn to walk by faith. Let's learn to walk by faith. If we can learn that tonight and just purpose in our heart to have a Caleb and Joshua report, maybe you need a lot of Caleb and Joshua reports for a lot of areas of your life. Hey, God will help you put one together. He'll start authoring it in your heart. And it's up to you then. Don't listen to everybody. Hey, don't reason that thing out. Put faith in that Caleb and Joshua report that God may just place in your heart tonight. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for the time. God, I pray that Your people tonight would develop a Caleb and Joshua report.